1420 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a framework's been agreed to between the U.S. and China that allows TikTok to continue operating in the U.S. CBS's Aaron Navarro says the president has continually blocked a bipartisan law banning the video app.
President Trump, in the second term, has delayed that ban by 90-day spurts.
FBI Director Kash Patel tells Fox the Bureau has DNA evidence linking Charlie Kirk shooting suspect Tyler Robinson to the scene.
The DNA hits from the towel that was wrapped around the firearm and the DNA on the screwdriver are positively processed for the suspect in custody.
Robinson is scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today pushed back on critics of his decision to attack Hamas leaders in Qatar, a U.S. ally. He says other nations have attacked terrorists living safely in other countries.
There's immense cynicism and hypocrisy in the condemnation of Israel.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Missing 6-year-old Ruby Lehman was found on Saturday. According to a press release from the Portage County Sheriff's Office, Jordan Coyle's white Ford was found shortly before 2 p.m. on Saturday, September 13th. The vehicle was found in the Almond School Forest. Assistant Chief Noel from the Plover Police Department saw flattened grass tracks leading into the area during a grid search. After a ground search, Ruby and the suspect, Jordan Coyle, were located a little before 5 p.m. Coyle was taken into custody without incident. Ruby was assessed at the scene and transported to the hospital. She appeared to have no physical injuries. Sheriff Mike Lucas said at a press conference that Ruby was a little scared when law enforcement arrived on the scene, but appeared to be in good spirits. Coyle was taken to the hospital for medical clearance. Approximately 50 local, state, and federal officers assisted in the search that began last Thursday. The investigation is still underway. Wisconsin Rapids Police are asking for help after a house fire on September 12th. It happened in the early hours of Friday morning. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department responded around 1:50 a.m. to the house in the 1500 block of 17th Avenue South. The people in the home safely exited and the fire department quickly put out the fire. No injuries were reported. The Wisconsin Rapids Police Department is asking residents in the area who may have surveillance footage from around the time of the incident or anyone with information to contact Detective David Bailey at 715-421-6236. The Wildwood Zoo has 3 new animals who will act as long-term ambassadors for conservation education. 3 young female owdads, also known as Barbary sheep, are settling in at the zoo. These endangered African natives were introduced to the U.S. in the 20th century. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Another Brewer injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but lost to the Cards yesterday 3-2. Pitcher Jose Quintana giving up 3 runs in the second. Pat Murphy says Quintana was dealing with an injury.
Jose leaving with a calf injury is, you know, that's alarming with how injured we already are in the bullpen and on the mound.
The Brewers have the night off before playing the Angels tomorrow night. A report says the Brewers could be playing the Braves in the Little League Classic in Pennsylvania next year in August. MLB says an announcement coming soon. NFL. After having the weekend off, the Packers head to Cleveland this week to play the Browns. College football. Badgers to host the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. They lost in Alabama 38-14.
We knew we had to come out here in the first half in particular and play solid, play poised, play confident. That's exactly opposite of what we did.
That's Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. It will continue to feel like summer for much of this week. Sunny skies expected for today with a high near 83. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 58. Plenty of sunshine again on Tuesday with a high of 84. Highs again in the low to mid 80s on Wednesday. Right now, 82.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news and sports headlines and discuss Suicide Awareness Month and why the rates keep going up in the state of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is the former chief of staff for the Department of Homeland Security, tech and security expert, author of A Warning by Anonymous and Blowback, Miles Taylor. One of the Substack newsletters that I actually look forward to getting and always read is called Treason with Miles Taylor. Treason.io is the website for it, I believe. Miles, welcome to the program. Do I have that right?
Great to be with you, my friend. Yes, you can find me at treason.io or Treason on Substack. And boy, is this a time to be talking about the subject of free speech, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And in fact, your newsletter today, or maybe it was yesterday, Civil War, No, But the Censorship War Has Begun, is pretty damn startling stuff. You want to lay it out for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, even since I published that, the news story continues to develop. I mean, you know, taking us back a couple of days, of course, in the wake of the killing of Charlie Kirk, we saw Donald Trump come forward and instead of unite the country, he's talked about how he wants to go dismantle left-wing organizations. He just said today that left-leaning organizations are the scum and are the reason that this happened, even though we're still getting conflicting reports about the ideological motivations of the shooter, of some folks noting that he appears to have been a groiper. So rather than a left-wing individual, may have been a far-right individual. But regardless, in the wake of Trump's exhortation to go after left-leaning organizations, we have since seen the official levers of power turn towards censoring individuals who may have expressed, offensive views in response to the killing of Charlie Kirk, but certainly haven't done things that are illegal. And that includes the Defense Department announcing that they're going to go after any service members who made signs of disrespect in the wake of the killing. We saw the State Department, the Deputy Secretary of State, announce that the visas of foreign visitors in the United States or immigrants who posted things derogatory about Charlie Kirk could see their visas revoked. But this has gotten a lot bigger even in the past few hours. We've now seen multiple members of Congress try to crowdsource evidence of their own constituents who have potentially said things derogatory towards Charlie Kirk in the wake of the killing so that they can have people's licenses revoked, so that they can get them fired from their jobs. And the last thing I'll add is, just in the past couple of days, a website has sprung up to take screenshots of any negative posts people have written on social media about Charlie Kirk. So likewise, they can be crowdsourced in their efforts to cancel those folks. So again, I'll go back to, there's a deep irony here, which of course is that Charlie Kirk, whatever the motivations of the shooter, was killed because of his views. And the response, unfortunately, from the right, rather than to defend free speech, has been to try to go to silence progressive voices around the country. And I'm worried that that campaign is really going to pick up steam in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and when Charlie Kirk would go to campuses, particularly in the early years of TPUSA, at Turning Point USA, when he had just gotten the funding from the 10 very, very wealthy people who kind of launched his organization, I guess, when colleges would try to keep him off or people would object, his cry would be, what happened to free speech? You know, so it's pretty astonishing. You noted the Congressman Clay Higgins from Louisiana, Republican, wants to ban for life every post or commenter that belittled the assassination, et cetera. It's pretty wild stuff. You had also talked about let me change this question just a little bit. You yourself have been the victim of Donald Trump. I mean, you know, he named you in an executive order. He's got the government coming after you. I wrote a piece that was published this morning on Substack talking about how, you know, if Charlie Kirk or Tom Hartman or somebody else, you know, in the media says something, you know, calls somebody a name or, you know, whatever, threatens some, you know, suggests somebody should be in jail, that's one thing. We don't have any power. But if the president of the United States or somebody who has the weapons of power, the head of the FBI, the head of the Department of Justice, whatever, says the same thing, these are people who actually have the power of life and death, have the power to take people down, have the power to destroy lives. What's it like on your end from having been on the receiving end of this awesome power of government?
Well, Tom, I've got to tell you, it is an extraordinary thing. And this is the type of thing folks like you and I have observed and talked about and wrote about in foreign countries, but never in the way that I've experienced it here. I mean, I will say that being on the president's blacklist, being named in an executive order for a federal investigation because I criticized the president for years, has dismantled almost every aspect of my life. My business was destroyed in the wake of it. We have, of course, had to grapple with the need for an army of different lawyers to deal with the potential avenues that this could take with the administration. But there's the very real security threats, the same type of security threats that Charlie Kirk talked about getting while he was out there speaking around the country. And but the difference, of course, here is it's not a random American that's threatening me. It's the president of the United States accusing me of being guilty of the highest crime envisioned in the U.S. Code, treason, a crime punishable by death, which, of course, is why I named this Substack Treason, is because it's very much my view that if free speech is now considered traitorship in the United States, then consider me a traitor. You know, that's not how I view free speech. That's not how the founders viewed it. But that's the side I'm going to be on if that's how dissent is treated. But, you know, I'll say as recently, Tom, as this morning, I was on the phone with lawyers and preparing to get on the phone with law enforcement because of very vile threats we have received in the wake of all of this, including threats not just to me, but to my wife, to my young daughter. That's something that continues. And keep in mind, it was April that the president issued this executive order against me. We are now in the month of September, and we are still grappling with very urgent security concerns here in our family. And that has meant that places that I was going to go speak at in the balance of this year, I can no longer appear at in person. I've had speeches at universities canceled and pulled down, public remarks pulled down because the security concerns are too grave. That's what happens when your own government puts a crosshair on your back.
I'm so sorry to hear that. You wrote, Trump is creating the deep state he decried. Can you explain?
You know, this is something that I hope that people share with their friends and family, because I'll tell you, I think one of the most compelling ways to persuade people to move away from the MAGA movement or distance themselves from the far right turn of the Republican Party is just to point out some of the hypocrisies. One of them, of course, is what we are seeing right now when it comes to freedom of speech. The party that claims that it had been censored, that decried censorship, is now apparently mounting an active campaign to go censor Americans that don't agree with the president's worldview. That's one hypocrisy people should point out. But a second is what you just mentioned, Tom, which is that Donald Trump spent the better part of a decade campaigning and trying to govern on this notion that the federal government was run by a secret cabal of employees, unaccountable civil servants who were conspiring to thwart the president of the United States and who were pulling the strings of government from within the bowels of government. That idea, the deep state, was a false idea. It didn't exist. Okay. As someone who served his whole career in government, there was not a secret club or cabal or people with, insignias and tattoos quietly controlling the government as a deep state. What there was, and what I witnessed in the first Trump administration, is there absolutely was a cadre of civil servants with consciences who were loosely disconnected and who would regularly say no when the administration asked them to do things that were illegal. I don't mean lawful orders. I don't mean things presidents are allowed to do. But when Trump tried to do things that were unconstitutional and illegal, those civil servants would speak truth to power and say, I can't break the law. We want that in any administration. So there was no deep state. But now that Trump is set about dismantling this deep state that never exists, there is a deep irony here and a deep hypocrisy, which is that he has created one. And the way I've laid this out, Tom, is I think there's sort of a two-part plan here. Part one, you've already seen very, very publicly. And that has been the administration's efforts to purge agencies that the president sees as disloyal or which don't align with his worldview. And you've seen that from the deletion of agencies like USAID to the gutting of agencies like the National Weather Service or the CDC, a vast array of organizations. We've seen tens of thousands of civil servants fired from the government. But that's just part one, is the purge. Part two is that Donald Trump is actively creating his own deep state. Why? He's not just leaving those jobs unfilled and banking the government savings. He is backfilling those jobs with loyalists that they are recruiting into the administration, not into political jobs that disappear when the president becomes a pumpkin in 2028, but jobs where those people will remain in government and remain loyal to a MAGA agenda. That's what's really concerning to me. And there's nowhere it's more obvious than in federal law enforcement. We are seeing a massive expansion of ICE into the nation's largest law enforcement agency, and we are seeing the purge at the FBI turn towards the hiring of agents that clearly have an ideological bent. They are lowering the standards at these organizations. They are actively targeting on social media people with a certain ideological worldview that aligns with MAGA and trying to build an actual deep state inside the federal government that will advance Donald Trump's agenda even when he's gone. That is hypocritical. That is ironic. That is something I think is really important for people to point out, is there was never a deep state until Donald Trump created one.
Miles Taylor is the former chief of staff for the Department of Homeland Security, a tech and security expert, the author of A Warning by Anonymous and Blowback, and also his Substack newsletter. Get over to Substack and just type in treason or Miles Taylor, you'll find it. Or you can go to treason.io. It's just extraordinary. And Miles Taylor on Blue Sky. Miles, thanks so much for dropping by. It's great meeting you. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for what you do, Tom.
My pleasure. Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So now the FBI is doing loyalty tests. I'll tell you about that after the break and pick up your calls. Stay with us. We all have two ages, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. What I didn't know is I've likely lowered my biological age without even knowing. Here's the thing, because Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruit and veggies, many are 10 plus years older on the inside than their actual age. They're ticking time bombs. Major university studies suggest to slow aging and diffuse that participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's all. They didn't change their eating, drinking, or exercise, just Field of Greens. I've been noticing more energy since I've been drinking Field of Greens. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. I feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly I'm aging. I encourage you to join me. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, or green drink for Field of Greens while there's time. Check out the university study and get 20% off when you use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code TOM.
When your reputation's on the line, you don't leave anything to chance, especially your primer. Painter's Trust Kills Primers for a smooth start, strong adhesion, and serious stain-blocking power. And now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same-day or next-day delivery, or order online and pick up in-store. Kills Primers. Pro results, faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be maggots. They'll trade in the facts for conspiracies and swagger. They'd rather blame immigrants, science, and books than take a hard look at the mess in their nooks. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be maggots. Don't let them wear red hats or chains. Not just post memes from their Uncle Jim's view. They love their big rallies. They're slow.
23 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. So Brian Driscoll is his name is not a household word, but at the end of the Biden administration, there were basically two people who were running the FBI. You had Christopher Wray, who had been running the FBI for quite some time, who I was not all that fond of, but whatever. In fact, I think he was a holdover from the last Trump administration, if I'm recalling correctly. I mean, the whole point is the FBI is not supposed to be politicized, right? And he knew, Chris Wray knew, that Trump was going to fire him as soon as he came into office. And so the day before Trump was inaugurated, on January 19th of this year, he said, that's it, I'm out of here. He resigned. Which meant that his number two guy, Brian Driscoll, became the acting director of the FBI. So Trump comes in, and his guy says, you know, we're gonna interview this guy. This is the White House DOJ transition liaison, a 29-year-old political appointee by the name of Paul Ingrassia. So he sits down with Brian Driscoll and says, okay, we're basically, words to the effect of, we're trying to decide whether to keep you on as FBI director or not. And so Driscoll is expecting, you know, well, what do you think about, you know, what's the best way to do policing, or how do we deal with criminals who do this or that or whatever. Instead, these are the questions that were asked. Who did you vote for in the last election? And Brian Driscoll says, that's none of your damn business. And then he said, when did you start supporting President Trump? And Driscoll said, that's none of your damn business. And he said, have you voted for a Democrat in the last five elections? Now, these are the questions that they're asking a guy who works at the FBI, has spent his entire career at the FBI, been there 20 years. Who did you vote? Have you voted for a Democrat in the last five elections? Here's the kicker. Do you agree that the FBI agents who stormed Mar-a-Lago should be held accountable? To that question, Brian Driscoll actually said, accountable? Those guys were operating on a legal warrant issued by an actual judge, and they were just doing their jobs. And that answer and his refusal to answer the other questions got him fired. This is not how you are supposed to run a government. This is how you run an authoritarian state. This is how you run a dictatorship. Dictatorships are, you know, the essence of a dictatorship is that everybody has to salute the dictator. Everybody has to go along with the dictator. You can't criticize the dictator. You can't challenge the dictator. You have to say, yes, I'm Mr. Putin is my man. You know, you've got to, if you challenge the dictator, you are in deep trouble. This is not, these people are not understanding American history.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
27 minutes past the hour. I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Peter Galluli is the CEO of the wellness company, changing healthcare, starting with the medical emergency kit. This is not a first aid kit. It comes stock with prescription medication to treat dozens of common and serious illnesses. No more waiting to see your doc, sitting in a crowded ER or emergency care or the pharmacy. Your prescriptions are in your emergency medical kit. Peter, welcome to the program. Tell us about this.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, our emergency medical kits are really taking the country by storm. We've helped protect over a million Americans, and it pinch myself when I even say that. Meds like you just mentioned, things like amoxicillin and antibiotics, every American is going to probably get a prescription for these in the next couple of years, right? It's always something. People everywhere are fed up with going to the doctors, fed up with waiting in line for an urgent care, and we all know that the best time to address a sickness is the morning you feel that scratchy throat or the runny nose, rather than trying to wait it out. You need to have medicines on hand in your medicine cabinet today to take. Purchase it online, just like you purchase anything online. There is a 2-minute medical intake questionnaire where we collect some basic data. It goes to our medical team. It's a team of 50 state licensed doctors. So a doctor in your state will review it and call you if they have any questions. If not, we will issue you a medical emergency kit, which will be dispensed through our pharmacy and shipped to your doorstep. It's 100% compliant with the FDA. All of our doctors are registered MD, DOs, or NPs. They do this every day, all day. And the medicines come from our pharmacy, which, again, is prescribing them to you with your name on it and is licensed in all 50 states as well. It took us a long time to build out this infrastructure that allows us to do this, but a lot of Americans are taking advantage.
Peter, thanks so much for dropping by and speaking with us today.
I appreciate it.
Peter Galluli is the CEO of The Wellness Company, urgentcarekit.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the promo code Tom.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer gets us reset on who all is running for what in Wisconsin next year, and Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson from Capitol Hill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of the legislature are considering their own security. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer, when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. It will continue to feel like summer for much of this week. Sunny skies expected for today with a high near 83. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 58. Plenty of sunshine again on Tuesday with a high of 84. Highs again in the low to mid 80s on Wednesday. Right now, 82.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them, with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternand. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Thank you so much for all of your support.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, or one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio, and tag your it. Hey, if you're still tossing and turning all night and feeling edgy during the day, let me tell you about CBD from CB Distillery. Millions are turning to their CBD for relief because, hey, it works. In fact, over 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD. And it's not just sleep. CB Distillery offers targeted formulations for just about everything. Sleep, stress, mood and focus, pain after exercise. They even have CBD for pets. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. My favorites are the sleep gummies. They really work when you need a good night's sleep. And with over 2 million satisfied customers and a 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery really is the source to trust. So if you're struggling with sleep, stress, or other health concerns and haven't found relief, make the change like millions are to CBD from CB Distillery. And for a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, to get 25% off. At cbdistillery.com with the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, when you check out. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. cbdistillery.com.
Grew up in the suburbs, not the Appalachia frontier. J.D. Vance, you're just a tale they sell. While real folks struggle in a system built to fail. It's a J.D. Vance LG Griff. With a smile, catching everyone adrift. From the suburbs to the Senate, you climb so high. On the backs of the poor, while you spread your life. He wrote a book about his kin with a condescending
past the hour. So Donald Trump says that the assassination of Charlie Kirk is because of the radical left. The radical left is causing all these problems. It's the lefties in America. It's the Democrats. We've got to deconstruct the Democratic Party. We've got to take apart Democratic organizations. Quack, 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 quack. So 2018 was how many years ago? What, 7 years ago, as I recall? 7 years ago? Yeah, I think so. So there have been 31 targeted political murders or attempted murders since 2018. Let's look at them. Who was responsible for these 31 targeted political murders? In 2018, Caesar Sayoc sent bombs to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Maxine Waters. He was a registered Republican and a Trump supporter. In 2020, 13 men attempted to punish Michigan's Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer, for enforcing COVID lockdown measures. All were far-right extremists. By the way, my source for this is Alan Austin's piece over on Daily Kos. It's titled, None of the Last 31 Political Attacks Was by Anyone from the Left. Not one. We can count them. Ray Den Hollander murdered human rights lawyer Mark Angelucci in July of 2020, then tried to kill District Judge Esther Salas, but succeeded instead in murdering her son and seriously wounding her husband. He was a far-right Trump supporter. In 2022, February 2022, Quintez Brown attempted to kill the Democratic mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, Craig Greenberg. Brown was motivated by black nationalism, pan-Africanism, and revolutionary socialism. So, okay, you've got your first lefty there. In October of 2022, David DePapp seriously injured Paul Pelosi with a hammer while seeking to kill House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi. DePapp was a far-right Trump supporter. In December of 2020, Solomon Pina paid gunmen to attack the houses of Democratic state lawmakers in New Mexico. He's a Republican, a registered Republican, and a former candidate for office as a Republican. In August of 2023, Craig Robinson was shot and killed by FBI agents while being arrested for threats against President Joe Biden. Robinson was an extreme right-winger and an Army veteran. Donald Trump himself was targeted at a July 2024 rally. The shooter, Thomas Crooks, killed one attendee, injured three others. He was a registered Republican. Another attempt on Trump's life was made by Trump voter Ryan Ruth in September 2024. His trial is still ongoing. In April of 2025, Cody Ballmer attempted to kill Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro in an arson attack. Ballmer was a Trump supporter. The Democratic Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives, Ms. Melissa Hortman, and her husband, Mark Hortman, were killed by avid Trump supporter and registered Republican Vance Bolter in June of 2025. Bolter then tried to murder John Hoffman and his wife, seriously injured them. And lastly, Charlie Kirk was killed by Tyler Robinson. And to this day, we still don't really know what Robinson's motivations were. So here you have 31 targeted political murders or attempted murders since 2018, 24 perpetrators. One of them was a lefty. All the rest were Republicans, and the vast majority of them were not just Republicans, but avid Trump supporters. So, you know, spare me the phony outrage and indignation. Yes, we have a serious problem in this country with too many guns. Yes, we have a serious problem in this country with political violence. Violence is no way to solve any political problem. But let's be clear about where it's coming from and has been, you know, since the days of Tim McVeigh. Since then. All right, what's on your mind? Let's pick up some calls here. Kay in Novato, California. Hey, Kay, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Just a comment and then two questions. The lack of youth at rallies and protests is obvious. Now wondering, is Turning Point the reason? Who and where is the representation of the left, and is there any on college campuses?
Yeah, this is one of the problems. When Charlie Kirk started Turning Points USA, 10 very, very wealthy individuals stepped forward and poured millions of dollars into the thing. He's raised something, I understand, is something on the order of $400 million since he started. He's got big money behind him, or had. He's no longer with us. I don't know, and I'm pretty wired into these things, I don't know of any rich people who are supporting any progressive causes. You know, Ben Shapiro, same deal. You know, he had, you know, rich right wingers who helped launch his career. I just, you know, there's literally no equivalent infrastructure on the left. You've got the structure that the Koch brothers put together with ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, where in state after state after state, Republican legislators get together with lobbyists to write legislation. Nothing like that on the left. You've got state policy centers that were funded by the Koch brothers back in the days in all 50 states. There's literally nothing like that on the left. You've got, I noticed in my mail, I've got a letter. I've got stuff coming from Hillsborough College today, you know, right wing college that is doing outreach all across the world. You've got Prager University. There's nothing like either of those things, any of these things on the left. The problem, I think, is all this AstroTurf stuff on the right is being responded to as if it was genuine grassroots stuff, and it's not. And I don't know if I answered your question, but I think young people are turning out. I just think that I have noticed this too at a lot of these rallies that there's people, you know, boomers basically, and that's a generation that protested in Vietnam, so it makes sense that they would be. Right. You know, not just willing to show up in the streets, but practiced at it. So, but yeah. Kay, I got no easy answer for you beyond that observation. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Paul in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Well, yeah, Tom, let's go back to the list. I would take exception with just two of those. I don't consider the...
Paul, I need you to get a little closer to your microphone, if you could, please. I'm having
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Charlie Kirk's, I don't consider that to be an assassination. All of the people on that list that you just read, except for one, the lawyer, are political office holders. Charlie Kirk doesn't hold the lowest office, political or otherwise, elected or appointed. Just because he is a leading voice of hatred and bigotry and racism on the right doesn't make it an assassination. So here's the question. Why does one bullet from one gun, from one guy to another, is a political assassination when most of the time it's somebody on a rooftop with an AR-15 shooting dozens and dozens of people, and that's mental illness? Okay, so he, by the way, which the guy could have done, and he didn't. All right, so then we hear about by Saturday afternoon casting this guy as a lefty through the voice of Utah Governor Spencer Cox.
Right.
He none got a of call what from he Trump. Said. Yeah. Well, none of what he said came from law enforcement. And by the way, why the hell is the FBI in on this case? This is a state murder case, Washington County, Utah. It's not a federal case, as I said, because it's not a federal. It's a state crime, and there are no federal politicians involved. So, you know. I don't know why Democrats feel like we have to fall all over ourselves to apologize and say, we roundly condemn unequivocally can condemn this political violence when, but for the last 20 years, Tom, gun policy in this country has been totally and exclusively that of the Republican Party and a corrupt Supreme Court. So it's not, you know, the fact that when something happens and it goes wrong, I don't immediately raise my hand and say, I didn't do it. If I didn't do it, I don't say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of.
I want to argue semantics with you, Paul. I think that anybody who gets killed, particularly for the things that they say or believe, I don't think assassination is the wrong word. I think it's. I get your point that, you know, this was a state crime and, you know, why is the FBI there? Obviously, the FBI is there because the whole, you know, the Trump administration has politicized the FBI and they're using the FBI to help, you know, make, you know, turn Charlie into a martyr and all that. Yeah, I get that. But, we do have to condemn political violence. And I made this point earlier that it seems to me, maybe you didn't hear it. It seems to me that political violence comes in like three phases. You start out with elected officials getting assassinated. And this is something that, you know, goes back to Lincoln and before, I suppose. And by the way, we saw these three phases in the run up to the Civil War. And then you find high profile people who are not elected officials getting assassinated. People who are newspaper editors, people who are commentators, people who are, you know, television, radio personalities, whatnot, getting assassinated. And Charlie Kirk falls into that category. That's like stage two. And then stage three is when people start killing each other. And that's when you're in a civil war or you're on the precipice of a civil war. And so Charlie Kirk being assassinated is a major escalation in the direction of civil war, in my opinion. And that's, I think, why the media is so hysterical about it, is because they're all looking around going, that could have been me. I'm out in front of the public all the time.
Well, it's as politicized as the governor of Utah has made it. And the one way you can tell that all of this about the profile of this suspect is made up to him is that he says the suspect is not cooperating. He has not confessed. Well, why the hell would he? He hasn't even been charged yet. If he's planning to plead not guilty, you wouldn't confess, would you?
I can't speak to that. I've never been in that situation. But I retort, you know, I probably not. Paul, thank you for the call. 46 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be back with your call. Stay with us. So how many beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? Well, if it's more than just Vibrant Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and even your dark spot reducers. Louisa's been using Vibrant Super C Serum for a while now. She uses it every night. She swears by it, and she's noticed a real difference in how her skin looks. Super C Serum is made with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, and delivers noticeable results. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, VIBRIANCE.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, Vibrance.com/Tom.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Come.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Orwell's warning, straight from the page. They're twisting the future, rewriting the age. History's burning, truth's under ban. Welcome, my friends, to Magistan.
Loyalty. 2 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. CJ in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Hey, CJ, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Tom. I appreciate it. Well, let's start with this. There's no one side that owns political assassinations and violence. So it's really upsetting to hear anyone point the finger. But can I say, as a Christian, I was at church yesterday, and the reach out by young kids for something positive is exponential already. I've heard this, that 37,000 plus requests for new chapters across the United States and the world for Turning Point USA. Mm-hmm. And I'm encouraged by that. You know, it's sad to see where this has gone. Charlie Kirk, I saw him twice. I saw him in Madison, Wisconsin here about a year ago. There was about 1,500 to 2,000 kids there, and he took on all comers that disagreed with him. And I don't agree with everything he says, just like I don't agree with everything close to it, but not everything that my party does. You know, so I think, yes, we have to somber this down, and it's sad to see it's gotten to this point. But I am encouraged by the young kids reaching out for something positive. And that's what Charlie Kirk fought for. And I hate it when I hear people say, you know, he didn't believe in the word empathy. You know, play and read the whole quote. Research people. Don't live by someone else's reference or a little snippet of their lives.
Well, what was the context when he said that he thought that empathy was I don't recall the exact words of the quote. Maybe you can tell us where he said something like empathy is poison, or empathy is, you know, stupid or unnecessary.
It's a newly created word, and he believes in sympathy.
Empathy is not a newly created word.
For their conditions, but though some of those can be changed, empathy is a newly created word, and he feels it makes people weak. He wants people to see the good in other people, and I believe, like I believe a lot of Republicans, there needs to be a safety net, but we shouldn't be paying trillions of dollars for undocumented immigrants who broke the law into our country, and we're giving Social Security debit cards, and we found out what the previous administration believed in was open borders, and I believe the long term was for vote.
Yeah,
and that's not what our country's about.
All right, number one,
discourse is good.
People who are undocumented in this country are not.
Every time I've called you, sir,
is CJ. Undocumented people in this country are not getting Social Security benefits, and they are not voting. And Joe Biden was not in favor of open borders. In fact, he dramatically reduced the number of people coming across
Tom,
the border from the Trump years.
You need to look at
with
the numbers.
Of 2020.
You can see it on a graph.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's simply false.
Those numbers that you're quoting, CJ, I've seen the graphs. Those numbers you're quoting are arrests at the border. Joe Biden arrested a lot of people and sent them back.
How about this one, Tom? How about
Barack Obama deported more people in each one of his years than Donald Trump did?
How about the 300,000 of unattended children that showed up on our border that now we've lost? We've found about 30,000 of them so far since Trump took office because they actually care where these kids were released to.
Well, then where are the 1,000 children that Trump separated from his families back when he thought that this would be a cool way to discourage people from coming to America, and they're still missing? They were trafficked into these pop-up Christian adoption agencies that then just vanished into the mist.
Tom, really, I think you and I are on the same thing, but... I think we want the same thing.
Yeah, hopefully, CJ. Hopefully. CJ, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, but it's the end of the show and I'm out of time. I just have to stop it here. But thank you for the call. There's all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
So you just got back from your summer vacation, right? Maybe even had to book two rooms because of your snoring. Some vacation, huh? Snoring can be an underlying cause of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, even memory loss. Introducing Zepa. That's Happy Z spelled backwards. Zepa is a doctor-designed mouthpiece that moves your jaw forward to keep your airway open. From now through the month of October, you can put an end to your snoring and save $10 on a limited edition pink Zepa. They'll even donate another $10 to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Help Zepa reach their goal to raise $50,000 for breast cancer research by going to Zepa, ZYPPAH.com, and using the code PINK, or text my first name, Tom, that's THOM, to 511-511. Put your snoring on a permanent vacation and help a worthy cause with the snoring device I trust by visiting Zepa.com and using the code PINK, or text Tom to 511-511. Remember, Zepa's Happy Z.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. American and Chinese negotiators meeting in Madrid have agreed on a way for TikTok to continue operating in the U.S. Here's CBS's Jo Ling Kent.
There's a framework for a deal. What are the details? We don't know what they are yet. And both TikTok and the parent company ByteDance have not responded to our multiple requests for comment on this.
Vice President J.D. Vance hosted the late Charlie Kirk's podcast today, blaming liberals for the country's political violence.
We have to talk about this incredibly destructive movement of left-wing extremism that has grown up over the last few years.
A federal prosecutor, the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, has sued the federal government over her firing in July. CBS's Matt Piper has that.
Maureen Comey's federal lawsuit notes that her firing in July came the day after her supervisors had asked her to take the lead on a major public corruption case and 3 months after she had received her latest outstanding review.
Comey says her firing was unlawful and unconstitutional. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Let's go.